2 Timothy 4:7, and we'll just read the one verse for time's sake. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown." Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We desire with all of our heart to bring honor and glory to thy great name, for thou art worthy. But Lord, we also desire to be a blessing to these thy people, and we especially desire to encourage them. In these last days, wickedness abounds. Wicked men are everywhere. The days grow dark as we approach the end. Many will fall away. I pray, O God, strengthen us. Put a steel rod in our back. Courage in our heart, that we might stand for thee, we might live for thee, we might be faithful unto death. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to bring you a little message this morning that's not, even the title's not good. You know you're off to a bad start when the title's at pits. I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, "The Fighter." Paul said, "I have fought." He didn't make peace, and he didn't love. He said, "I have fought." Now here you are in the latter part, or in the early part of the 21st century, and everybody's turned Christianity into a love-in, and everybody's laid down their standards, and there's nothing left to fight. We got rid of all sin. Nothing is wicked anymore. Nothing is ugly anymore. The world's not doing anything that it's not okay for the church to do. And so we don't have any enemies anymore. And if you don't have any enemies, you don't have any reason to fight. And nobody mad about anything. Everything, we just take things in stride. And you know, it's hard to fight if you're not mad.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if I walk over and slap your face, you want to fight. If I come over and insult your wife, y'all want to fight. If I mess with y'all's youngins or grandyoungins, I guarantee you, son, y'all be up for a fight. Amen? But that's because I made you mad. Ain't nobody mad about nothing. Well, when that Bible said, "Be angry and sin not," we took it to heart. We're not bad about nothing no more. So we ain't got no sinning going on. But Paul said, "I fought a good fight." Well, he must have won the whole doggone thing because we give it up. But now I did notice this though. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, he said, talking to us, "Fight the good fight of faith." He said, "I fought." Paul's a fighter. He didn't lay down and play dead. There's a lot of stuff in his day that he had issues with. Ain't that what they say these days? "I've got issues." All the psycho babble we got these days. "Well, I've got issues." Yeah, well, I got some too, but God's got some too. Paul said, "I have fought." Now, by the way, when you look at that, that means that's an action completed. Have, past tense. Fought, see? Not something he's going to do, not something he wishes he had done, not something he will do in the future. It's a past completed action. I have fought. He's done it. While everybody else is talking about it, he is in there punching that guy in the nose. He said, "I have fought." Then he said, "Fight the good fight of faith." He's talking to the brethren. He said, "Fight the good fight of faith." He said, "Do what I have done." Amen. We want to sit around like the fight's all over with. Well, it's not all over with. Paul fought his battle, but he's saying, "You got one to fight too. Now get at it." Amen. I don't know about y'all. When I was growing up, we was considered, I don't know any better way to put this, we was poor white trash. I mean, we had nothing. My daddy knocked dents out of fenders for a living. We lived in rented houses, and we moved a lot. Amen. We drove old, used, second, third, fourth, fifth-hand cars. My mama made my shirts on the sewing machine in the back room. We was poor. Amen. Why'd I say that? Oh, yeah. Seemed like I was changing schools all the time everywhere you went. If you was a boy back in them days, you had to prove yourself. Because now you was either bullied. If you go to school and you couldn't fight or wouldn't fight, they's going to run you ragged. They're going to pick on you and browbeat you and mess with you and take your lunch and take your lunch money and all this. Every day is going to be something. So I learned early on in life to fight. Because if you didn't, you're just going to live a miserable life. And so I just got to where I kind of expected it. And we go to a new school. I went to 7 schools in 1 school year. And after about the second one, I had that thing figured out. I just looked dumb. But I'm not much on getting beat up. And I'm not much on somebody taking my stuff. Now, you can have it, but you got to whoop me to get it. Amen. So pretty quick I learned that every school had a bully. And you either had to fight him and beat him or pay the price for not. And so I just got to where I'd seek him out, and I'd waylay him, and sucker punch him, and whoop his butt. I said, "Preacher, you didn't fight fair?" "Oh, yes, I did. My daddy said, a fair fight, son, is when you win." Amen. So whatever it took, turn your back, I got you. Walk by a row of, matter of fact, up here in Bessemer City, we moved up there. I think I was in the, fourth or fifth grade. And the school bully made his presence known at the morning recess thing. I knew I was going to be in for it that afternoon. So I spied out the land. And they had a rock building back there that was it was a gymnasium, but they also had the home economics class was in there. And we lived right behind it. I didn't live but half a block from the school. But there was a big row of hedges down the side of that building. So I knew them boys knew where I lived, and they'd be waiting on me. So I just got out of there as quick as I could, and I run around the other way, and I got behind that row of hedges, and I was between the building and the hedges. And I waited for them fellas to come by. And when he walked by, he's looking that way. That's where I wanted him to look. Said, "Why?" "Because I hit him back here." I just laid his butt down, boy. And when he hit the ground, I was on top of him. I never saw his face. I just beat up the back of his head. Amen. Now, I was little and skinny, and I'm not talking about being a big old bad guy or nothing. I'm talking about survival. It was fight to live. Amen. Now, there was a time or two when I did seriously enjoy it. I confess my wickedness. But it was, you either had to fight or you was going down. Now, Christianity is being wiped out in public sectors. We don't want people reading the Bible in public. We don't want Jesus Christ in the Bible at school. We don't want God in the Congress and the Senate. We don't even want religious markers. No nativity scenes, no crosses. They got that big thing going on out there in Arizona or wherever it's at with that cross up on the side of that mountain. They've got... We did win that? Well, praise the Lord. They had it boxed up with plywood so you couldn't see it because it was... And all it was a cross in celebration of some fellas that died in World War I. Just it's pitiful. We don't want Christianity in America. And the reason they're winning and the reason we're in such a mess is because we ain't got nobody fighting. Amen. Ain't nobody mad about nothing. Ain't nobody interested in nothing. As long as we're fat and flourishing, as long as we got our nice little car and our nice little family and we sit in our nice little church, we're not worried about the rest of the world. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to fight. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight." And in 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, "Fight the good fight." So we have an example of a fighter, and we have an admonition to fight. Did you ever notice that the world loves a good fight from time to time? Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17? There's a little fellow named David goes off to visit his brothers down at the battlefield. His nation's tied up in a war. And he goes down there and everybody's cowered down, sitting around. Nobody's fighting, ain't nothing happening. And he got this big old giant walking down there and saying, "Fee, fi, fo, fum." No, that's not it. Hey, you said, "Send me a man to fight." Everybody went, "Oh." And David said, "Who is that big ugly sucker?" They said, "Oh man, that's Goliath. He's a Philistine, and he's out here, and he's taking on all challenges. But look at him. He's 9.5 feet tall. He weighs 960 pounds. His spear weighs 300 shekels. I mean, man, he's a giant. We ain't got nobody who can whoop him." David said, "I can whoop him. I whoop turkey like him." He said, "I killed a bear, barehanded. I killed a lion." He said, "You think I'm afraid? I'll take him on." And they said, "Oh, you're not trained in the art of warfare, and you don't have armor." And they discouraged him. And Goliath is strutting his big ugly self around there and said, "Send me a man to fight." David gets that rock. He's looking down through there and he said, "Okay, big boy, keep running him out. Let me get this a little closer. I need about 30 yards. Yeah, keep talking. Hey. How much a 22 bullet weighs? 48 grams?
Grains.
400 grain rock. Pow! And that big boy went, boom! And a dust cloud arose. Fight's over! I win! The world loves a good fight, though. And they like a good fight with you. It is no fun when the other side lays down. It's a lot more fun when there's a challenge. A couple weeks ago, I played golf with my son-in-law. I beat him by 9 strokes. It wasn't no fun. I played with him last week. He beat me by 8 strokes. That was no fun. There's no fun and no fun. And the second one was really no fun. Now, we played yesterday. I got him by 2 on the front and 1 on the back, beat him by 3. It was a fight. There's a couple of times we was dead even. I'd pull ahead. Every time I'd get down, I'd turn the supercharger on, and I'd make a charge. And I whooped him. And I'll tell you what, it felt good yesterday. I said, "You play good and I beat you anyway." See, I don't want to beat you when you're playing bad. Make a fight out of it. The world enjoys a good fight. But Christianity's quit fighting. We're supposed to love, and we're people of peace and prayer and men of the cloth. That's the reason some folks I know don't think I'm a Christian at all. "I mean, you don't talk like any preacher I ever met." I said, "Thank God, I am not like any preacher you ever met." Yeah. All the preachers you know got lacy underwear. Now, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34, that our forefathers, he said, Hebrews chapter 11 is a Christian hall of fame, you know. He said, "And they waxed valiant in fight." So we used to have some folks on our side that would fight. They'd get mad. They'd get them a handful of weapons. And they'd charge. And they'd shed blood. And it'd stink. And it'd be awful. And it'd be the cries of the wounded. And some of the good guys would go down, but more of the bad guys went down. And we fought and we fought and we fought until we got a victory. And we went back and celebrated and said, "Glory to God. God gave us the victory." At least we made a fight of it. Amen. Said, "You win them all?" No, we didn't win them all, but We wanted enough to know that we could, and that kept us going. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, we're instructed to fight. He said, but so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul said, I'm fighting. I'm fighting a good fight of faith. But I'm not fighting like some guy that's just frailing around and don't know what he's doing. Like a man fighting in a dark room. You don't know where anybody's at, so you just, that's just nonsense. He said, I'm not fighting like that. That's a stupid way to fight. You probably hurt yourself as much as you hurt the other guy, if you ever find him. Amen? Now, Paul said, I fight not as one that beateth air. That means he wasn't fighting stupidly. That means there's a right way to fight and a wrong way to fight. There is a right time to fight and a time not to fight. Ecclesiastes said there's a time and a season to everything under the sun. Amen? So, Paul said, I'm not fighting like a man that doesn't know what he's doing. I'm not just frailing about. I'm waging an intelligent fight. That means I know who I'm fighting. I know what I'm fighting for or against. I know when to fight. And I know where. Amen? Now, ladies and gentlemen, it would just thrill my heart. And I think God Almighty would stand up on the banisters of glory and say, woohoo! If we could just get a whole generation of Christians in a fighting mood. But not fighting stupidly. But fighting with some sense and some direction and some purpose. Somebody say amen right there. Now, so I have five things here about fighting a good fight. Number one, who to fight. Well, you don't want, I don't want to destroy our allies. We don't want to wound them with friendly fire. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know as well as I do that the Methodists and the Presbyterians and as far as we're concerned, almost everybody else has watered everything down and changed it around and rethought it and rethunk it and this, that, and the other. And we don't think they're doing a very effective job. Of course, if you look what we're doing, we're not doing so hot either. But it's a lot easier to put the blame on them compromisers. Have they neo-orthodox? Ha, I just don't believe in that neo-evangel. I'm just not like that. We're Baptists. We're hellfire and brimstone. Hey, a lot of times it's just stupid hellfire and brimstone, too. He said, you ought to fight wisely. So, who to fight? Number one, we need to fight the world. The whole world? Oh, yeah. If you want to take on the school bully, you might as well get the big dog. Amen. Well, don't go half-stepping there, son. You say, well, we can't fight the whole world. God said we could. Well, you can't win. Sure you can. I'll show you how. Remember, it's one thing to know who to fight. It's another thing to know when and how. How do you fight the world? You folks sitting here, We're just ordinary folks, right? We got any big shots in here? Any great intellects? Any big bank accounts? I knew nobody would raise their hand there because they'd know I want a tithe off of it. We're just ordinary people. So how can I fight the world? Well, the devil is the god of this world. That's what the Bible says. He's the prince of the power of the air, and he is the god of this world. How do we fight against this world? Well, we can't take it on physically. Now, there was a day, well, it ain't been long ago, to be perfectly honest with you, at least in my own mind, I don't see anybody in here I couldn't have whooped. And I still ain't real sure. But I have noticed that I'm getting fatter and slower, and I run out of energy a lot quicker, so it's debatable now anyway. Amen. And so, if I had to fight somebody in here, I'd have to plan it out. I'd have to find me a way to sucker punch you, get you when you wasn't looking, or hit you with something harder than my hand. All those things are effective, you know. So how do you fight the world? Well, you're not as big as the world, you're not as tough as the world, not as mean as the world, you can't outlast the world. How do you fight them? It looks like they're invincible. But God gave us means whereby to resist the devil and fight the world. Do you know what a protest is for? You know, where you hold up a sign. Oh, well, I'm not going to fool out of myself like that. That's why we're losing. The world comes in and they want to make homosexuality okay. They want to make same-sex marriage okay. They want to make abortion okay. They want to make liquor okay. They want to make gambling okay. Well, every time they have one of them movements, every time they have one rally, you ought to be standing there with a placard. That's one way to fight the world. Second way, every time they have a vote on any of that stuff, you make sure you're registered. You vote in the primary, then you vote in the general election, and all them people that stand for all that stuff that we're again, vote them out. Fight them. Fight them. Fight them. You say, well, we can't win. Well, if you get enough folks like me and you in the crowd, we might could win. And if we don't win, we can give them a hell of a fight.
Amen.
At least we could go back and lick our wounds and say, bless God, they may have beat us, but boy, we give them what for, didn't we? Amen. We have to fight the world. That means you have to get involved. You have to know what's going on. You have to be willing to spend some of your time. You got to be willing to spend some of your money. And you got to get angry about things, and you have to believe in your heart that if we work hard enough and pray hard enough and spend enough money and get enough people involved, we can win. We can win. There was a time when nobody believed you could get a Republican elected in South Carolina. But you can, and we did. Amen. And Lord willing, we're going to get another one elected. Y'all need to vote for, can't say this in the pulpit, so you can talk about politics, but you can't endorse candidates. So, when I'm out of the pulpit, y'all ask me who to vote for, I will tell you. I went to Laurel Creek the other night for the meeting, and I listened to all the candidates that are running for governor of South Carolina. All Republican. They're going to have the primary. I'd be glad to share my feelings about that in an unofficial capacity. But we can fight the world. When any time something comes up that is contrary to the Bible, that contrary to Christianity, you have to get involved. You can't just sit there and watch your TV and say, boy, things are bad. Well, I remember when I was a boy, it wasn't like this then. Well, I never thought I'd see the day. You're going to see a lot worse if you don't get off your blessed assurance and do something about it. Protest. Write letters. Support people. Make donations. Vote. 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 That's the only means we have to fight the world. You can't pick up a 9mm and wipe them out. That's not our warfare. Our warfare is not carnal, but spiritual. It's mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Resist the devil. Fight that sucker. He can be defeated. Number two, we need to fight the world. Then we need to fight the flesh. Now, this is actually a lot harder than it looks. It's a lot harder than fighting the world. If there's anybody on this planet that I don't want to hurt, me. If there's anybody on this planet I want to be nice to, if there's anybody on this planet that I want to have easy life, smooth sailing, good things, I ashamedly admit it's me. And if you told the truth, what would you say? It's me. It's me, oh Lord. Yes, indeed. Paul said, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. We are of them that have no confidence in the flesh. I know that in me, that is in my body, dwelleth no good thing. So, the first thing you got to fight the world. Next thing you got to do is you got to fight yourself. My worst enemy is me. When the Holy Spirit gets on me, and I resist that as much as possible, like most of y'all. But when he finally gets through and he points out something in my life that needs fixing, I am loath to obey. Say why? Because if I didn't like it, it wouldn't be there. You know why it's hard to crucify the flesh? Because we like all that stuff. You know why it's hard to control your eating? Because you like to eat. Amen. I'll be honest with you. Almost everything in my life is something I really enjoy one way or another. Because all the stuff I didn't like, I quit. So now when it said I keep my body and brain under and bring it into subjection, that means I've got to start getting rid of and controlling things that I personally like. I just don't see nothing wrong with that. You ever heard that? That's a good defense, ain't it? Well, oh, preacher Hensley says this, and he says that, and he's again this, and he's... But you know, I just don't see nothing wrong with it. When I see you wrong on two counts, one, you think you're smarter than me, and you ain't. Help me, Lord. And two, you're just wrong about it. That stuff is bad for you. Amen? And we need to learn to control and have control over this old body. Where it goes, what it does, what it eats, what it wears, what it watches, what it listens to, what it sees, what it says. But man, that's hard. We need to control its lust and its habits, its indulgences. We need to abstain from all bad things. And we need moderation in all good things. He said, well, you know, ain't nothing wrong with this. I can do this. I can indulge in that. Okay. So you found something that it's okay to do, and you like doing it. That one, that's a miracle all by itself. But when you find something that's okay, and it's okay to do it, and you like to do it, you're still supposed to use moderation in doing it. Amen. We shouldn't do anything to excess. But we'll say, well, you know, one of the few things Christians have got is we can eat. Yeah, but didn't tell you had to have a 20-ounce steak and a 12-ounce potato. And four rolls every time you heat. Amen. If you was in China, you could have made four meals out of what you had for lunch. We have to control what we allow in this body. Moving right along so we can maintain some reasonable comfort level in here. We have to fight the world, we have to fight the flesh, and then you have to fight the devil. How do you fight the devil? It was pretty easy to figure out how to fight the world. And it's pretty obvious about how to fight the flesh. even though we don't like it. But it's not hard to figure out. But how do you fight the devil? How do you get into a contest with that sucker and win the thing? Well, here's how you do that. The Bible said, and bringing every thought into captivity. You see, our fight with the devil is internal. He works in your head. Nobody sees him. Nobody knows what you're thinking. You can be sitting talking to somebody about the things of God and thinking the meanest, most hateful thoughts in the world. You can get down to pray and be asking God's blessing on this and God's blessing on that and have the most bitter anger about somebody tucked away down in your heart, and you just throw an old blanket over it so you can't see it. Just pray like you was really spiritual. Somebody say amen. How do you fight the devil? You have to learn to control what goes on in here. Bringing every thought into captivity. Then you have to resist the devil. When he messes with your mind, you can't say, ooh, I like that. You know what we do? We say, well, I know that's not right, but, and then we allow ourselves to entertain those thoughts for a few minutes. We're not going to act on them. Boy, sometimes wouldn't it be fun just to indulge that thing a little bit and get even with somebody? The Bible said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Boy, he's a big enemy. He's hard to fight. He is. And it takes a lot of fighting. I tell you what, you stop and think about it. Christian got his hands full. You got to fight against the wickedness of the world, the natural sinfulness of the flesh, and the insidiousness of the devil. Now they got you on three fronts, got you on three levels, and they just be, and you outnumbered. It's hard to fight a good fight. And it's no wonder, I'm just being perfectly honest, it's no wonder sometimes that we get weary and give up and throw in the towel. But that's not an option. We can't afford for our soldiers to perish on the battlefield just because they grew weary. How do you resist the devil? How do you fight him? Well, you put on the whole armor of God. Amen. And you develop your faith. You draw nigh to God, you read God's book, you spend time in prayer, you fellowship with Christian brothers and sisters. You do things to make yourself stronger spiritually. And the things that would rob you of power and strength spiritually, you leave those things alone. We think that we can dabble in all the things of the world and still be spiritually victorious. It can't be done. You have got to mortify the flesh. People think you can be a good... I hear people all the time say, well, I believe you can be a Christian and not go to church. Well, I believe you can be saved and not go to church. I don't know about being a Christian. A Christian is one who acts like Christ. He said, and they took note of the disciples that they had been with Jesus. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Being saved is one thing. Being Christian is a whole other ball game. Amen. I'm afraid America got a lot of saved folks that nobody knows they're a Christian. Now, you say, man, that's overwhelming, preacher. I don't know what we can do about all that. I just don't think I can win. I'm not that good a fighter. I'm not that good a soldier. I agree with you. I've about figured out after all these years we can't win by ourselves. It's just too much, too many fronts, too many assaults. It lasts too long. We grow weary. Our strength runs out. How are we going to win this thing? How are we going to pull this off? How are we going to manage to fight the good fight of faith? I'm glad you asked me that, because the Bible said in Psalm chapter 35 and verse 1, now you ought to write this one down. Psalm 35, 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me, fight against them that fight against me. That's how you win. You were right. You're not big enough all by yourself. But nobody ever said you had to be by yourself. He said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He is our protector. He's our shield and buckler. He's our high tower. He's everything that we need. He is our comfort. He's our strength. He's our grace. So when we go to battle and we're outnumbered and we're outtrained and we're outgunned, you call on the Lord. I need His strength. I need His courage. I need His wisdom. Oh, Lord, strive against them that strive with me and fight against them that fight against me. I need the Lord's help to resist the world. I need the Lord's help to crucify the flesh. I need the Lord's help to fight against the devil. That's the reason he said, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto thee. You want victory in your life? You want the peace of God and the joy of God? You want that deep, settled assurance of your salvation? You want to have some victory in your life? Fight! But fight wisely. Don't fight as one that beateth the air. Know who your adversaries are. Know where they're at. And know how to attack. Know how to fight. And then don't put all the confidence in yourself. Lean on the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. If you want real victory, with the smallest amount of casualty, let the Lord fight with you and for you. I'm afraid that in our day and age, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has all but quit fighting. We need to pick up our sword and our shield and put on the whole armor of God and get back in the fight. There are plenty of things still to fight against. Sin is not on the endangered species list. The battle is not over. We do approach the end. But we need to be faithful unto death. And we need to fight the good fight of faith. Goodbye. Father, we thank you now this morning for your goodness to us, your mercy.